Good to have you here this morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Verse 15. Doesn't that sunlight look good on that snow? It's pretty. There's not much prettier weather you can get than sun on snow. Just glistening and bright. One night the moon came out right after one of our snowfalls, and it was so bright outside because of reflecting off the snow. It was just like, well, you could see real clearly just because of the snow reflecting where normally it's gloom and doom, no reflection. So I've got this thing about Indiana winters anyway, but the snow is the pretty part. Luke chapter 2, stand together, verse 15, familiar story. Just wanted to hit this section here. Luke 2, 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And you have to read previous to find out what was told them concerning the child. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And then the group of angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I mean, that's the things that were told them concerning this child. And all those, so they were making this widely known, the saying that was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Lord, bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Lord, as we pause just a moment. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. It's our desire today to seek him, celebrate him, and serve him. We just pray that you will open your word and our hearts, and Lord, just catch a glimpse again of a familiar story and how we can respond. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. On Christmas Day, I sat in my office over there and reflected on our Nazarene Advent theme for this year. Long expected Jesus. I've just been thinking about that, and I thought it deserved one more sermon. And I'll reflect again this week, and maybe it'll deserve one more sermon. I don't know, but just was on my mind as we crossed the threshold into the new year. And my mind reflected on the fact that the long expected Messiah was in many cases a rejected Messiah. But I'm glad that rejection was not the only response to Jesus. In fact, the first responses to the arrival of the Christ were mostly positive. People responded. People showed up. People did what they were supposed to do. Again, look at this familiar story and notice the responses. The first response was treasured memories. That's the way I put it in my order of the sermon because I really like this one. Treasured memories. Luke, more than the other gospel writers, gave more detail into the portrait of Mary than Matthew or anyone else. She was troubled and afraid, Luke tells us, when Gabriel showed up. And she was perplexed at his message. Then she willingly accepted the deal that the angel offered her, one of the most profound passages for a little teenager to do is say, Lord, I will accept this thing. Be to me according to your word. And realizing in some measure the consequences of her choice, she said, "Yes, I will do it." We preached about that. Quickly, Mary went to share her news with a relative, Elizabeth, because the angel told her that she also, who was barren, was now with child for 6 months. And so she went and shared with her. And they had quite an exchange, received a blessing from Elizabeth. And she went on and sang a song of praise. And in that song of praise that Luke gives, we have a ecstatic joy of Mary, coupled with unworthy humility and gratefulness that she would be the chosen one. I don't think she grasped all of it, but she sang the song of praise. And these insights that Luke give a unique glimpse into the personality of Jesus' mother, a very special lady. And in the Protestant, we tend to downplay it because the Catholic tradition has uplifted her so high to be the one to pray to and all these kind of things. And that we've kind of downplayed Mary, but Mary was a very special teenage girl that accepted all of this. But perhaps this passage is the most insightful as to Mary and her personality, because in verse 19, Luke recorded Mary's response to Jesus' birth in that stable and the shepherd's immediate visit when they came. And it says, following that, when they left, that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Remember, Mary is an uneducated, small town teenager with a probable reputation in her town now of being an adulteress or else crazy, mentally impaired of some sort. She had just completed a few days' journey with her fiancé to a strange town and survived giving birth in a dirty animal stable, probably a cave. Then in walked a group of strange men with more animals. I mean, I just think about this and I'm going, there is no way any woman today would have put up with this. The night Debbie came home from the hospital with Jennifer, it was a Sunday, I invited everybody in the church over. My first baby, you know, whatever, come on. I was so proud. I had one of them bake a cake, and we just had a good time of fellowship. And, you know, I don't know. She went along with it, so we were good to go. But today, not very many people would do that kind of thing. Mary, the day she just gave birth, she's got visitors she doesn't even know. Anyway, it's kind of weird when you think about it. And I think Mary handled the situation quite well for all the circumstances. I really do. You take your hat off to her. The shepherds came in, and she don't know them from anybody, and they've got a few sheep with them, a couple lambs they're carrying, and whatever, and the rest of them are probably still on the hillside with somebody who was designated to watch them, but the few of them they probably had to carry along. And here she is, she's handling this, and then the shepherds start talking about how they had seen this angel, and this angel gave him this message and told them about the baby and how they would find him wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, and then the whole group of angels showed up and sang this song, and it was so beautiful. You can imagine these shepherds probably haven't heard very much beautiful singing. And this impressed them so much that they just said, "Wow, we just got to stop everything here, and you stay with the sheep, and we're going to take you know the ones that need care, and we're going to go, and we're going to go see what had happened." And so they just walk into this stable, into this makeshift birthing suite, and what do? And she handled it pretty well. And so their story, as they share this story, it adds mystery and it added, just more facts and more confirmation in many ways to the what she had just experienced and what Joseph had just gone through. And so finally they leave, and Joseph closes the door of the stable behind them, and she tries to get some much needed rest, but her thoughts are not letting her sleep. And it wasn't because of caffeine. Luke uses two words to describe what she was thinking and how her thoughts were going. One is Mary kept all these things. Kept. That word is, it means that she guarded closely her thoughts so that she would remember them. And then she pondered them in her heart, which means that she pondered means weighed. Weighed the events, compared the facts, the stories, bringing it all together in her mind. Luke gives us a glimpse of an exhausted teenager who replayed over in her mind the words of Gabriel to her. And then the words of Gabriel that Joseph had told, that he had said to him. And then these facts that were given about this baby she was now holding, and about when she went to visit Elizabeth, and the stuff that the angel had talked to Zechariah about, and Elizabeth then confirms, and the baby leaps in her room when Mary comes, and this different stuff that they shared in their dual pregnancies and the stories that's going on, and then they would... She would just burst forth into song, and she's probably never sang a song before or wrote one. And here she, and these things that are happening, and then they had to make this journey, which was not something she wanted to do, be away from everybody that she knew, but it seemed to be God's plan, and how that fulfilled this prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And she's putting all this stuff together, and then these stupid shepherds show up. And they're telling her stuff that the angels told them. And she just is, wow. It's a lot of facts, a lot of thinking, a lot of changes in this teenager's mind. And she's thinking them over, and she's weighing them, and she's comparing those memories. What did the angel say to me? Yeah, that's kind of similar to what the angel said to the shepherds. And what? She's putting all this together. It was so important. All of it added significance to this moment that she probably knew she would never forget. A new mother forgets none of those things about her first baby. Right? Unless you're so sedated, you missed it all. But I can remember, as much as I can, the look on Debbie's face the first time they brought in the baby and put it in her arms. You know, they take your baby from you after it's born. You don't see it. Goes to another room, and they ink blot their feet and their hands, and they count the toes and fingers, and they give it an Apgard scale or something, and they do all this different stuff, and they're in a different room, and it's like there's a whole crew in there doing that, and there's another crew in here working on mom. And the doctor gives the assessment, or your baby, she's got 5 toes on each foot. Oh, that's good to know. But there's 6 fingers. No. and they tell you all this stuff, and everything looks good, and it's going to be fine. And then all of a sudden, they bring the baby to you, all cleaned up, all the wrapped in swaddling clothes. They can't move. They're bound together. The little hat on the head to keep their head warm. Little tiny snow hat's what it looks like. I remember that. Pushing in this little bassinet, and they give you the rules. I stand over there, and you can't do this, and you got to do that. And then they hand the baby to the mom. And all the pain, and all the hurt, and all the stuff is just, oh, my baby. And she just lit up. Right? You guys don't have similar memories? It was just wow moment. I think all the pain, all the screaming, all the fussing, everything else leading up to that moment was worth it. At that moment when that baby was in your arms. Some of you are saying, yeah, I remember that thing. You're so tiny. You look like nobody I've ever seen before. Or look like your dad. You have your mother's eyes, or whatever. You come up with all this stuff. And then that first cry, and you just want to cry along with them. And then later in the evening, that first coo. Ooh, ooh, ooh. All right. Mary is experiencing this, totally different conditions, but she's experiencing this. So everything Mary had heard about baby Jesus, she wanted to remember just like that for the rest of her life. It makes you wonder if she kept some kind of baby book in her own way. I wonder if she kept the swaddling cloths with a few pieces of hay still stuck to it from the manger. And would pull that out once in a while and go, oh yeah, it was a manger. Oh yeah, it was in a stable. There were animals around. Probably had some animal hair on the cloth that she found. I mean, you just think about this. There probably was something that she kept as a momentum of that occasion. And her baby was so special. And she was responsible for him and his care. And she needed to be at her best because this child, her baby, was the Son of God. Talk about special. And over the next few years, Mary wondered as she wandered. Remember, she's away from Nazareth, spent 2 years in Bethlehem, and then the Magi show up. And so they're in this house, rented a house, I don't know, whatever the arrangements were, and he must have got a job in town doing carpentry work or whatever. And so they were there for 2 years. The Magi show up, and then comes this warning, you're out of flee. And so they take the money that the Magi gave them and flee to Egypt. We don't know how long they were there while the babies are being killed in Bethlehem. She's probably going along. Now she's got a two-year-old. Wondering as she wanders, how was all this supposed to work out? Spend some time in Egypt, finally Herod dies, and then they come back. End up finally in Nazareth. Maybe he's 5 years old by now. And then at the age, you know, make the annual trip down to Jerusalem, and at the age of 12, she misses her son. I mean, they do a lot of wandering around, these people in those days. And you know, and all these things that are going through her mind as she's going through life. And then he reaches the age and she's there at his first miracle at Cana of Galilee. She's wandering around with him and hearing about him and his travels and his miracles and whatever. All these things are playing in her mind. And she's even there at the cross. Wondering as she wanders. How is this fulfilling God's will, God's plan? I wonder how many times she went back and pulled out those swaddling clothes. How many times she had these memories. Can you see this picture of this woman who's gone through the gamut of emotions, the highs and the lows? Kept all these things, guarded them, weighed them, pondered them. And she would bring them back. Precious memories. I wonder how often her mind returned to the table, the stable, those, all those moments, those things, the memories that she'd put away, pulling out his baby book. The dirty shepherds. Those guys were so dirty. You know, the Son of God wrapped in a torn piece of cloth, crying in a feed trough. Treasured memories. Her response to the birth of Jesus. There's a second response to consider, and that is the first witnesses. The shepherds are an interesting twist to this story because they wandered in the hills all over the area, going from one hilly pasture to another, just trying to keep their sheep fed and watered, and it was a constant struggle. And since Bethlehem is only 7 miles south of Jerusalem, they probably wandered up the way from time to time to sell their best sheep for temple sacrifices. They just kept kind of going around the area. And right now they just happened to be in the Bethlehem area when it happened. But this gave them some income by selling the best ones to the temple. It would give them the income to buy the supplies, the food, the different things that they would need to continue to be shepherds. It probably wasn't a super lucrative business, but it kept them fed and it met a need. And the night Jesus is born, they're in the vicinity of Bethlehem, and so the angels pay them a visit, you know, sharing the good news of Jesus' birth, and then they take off and they verify the angel's story. They visit the stable and see the baby and so on. In verse 17, Luke records how now that when they had seen Jesus, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, the shepherds left the stable, and then they went back to their main flock, and then they would travel, continuing to travel from place to place. They'd come into town for supplies, and they would come in maybe to eat a breakfast at McDonald's one day, and then, you know, take the bacon biscuit or something back out to the one who had to stay there with the flocks. I don't know how they did it, but as they traveled around, you can imagine whenever they run shoulders with other people, and they would say, "We got a story to tell you." How many of you have been sung by an angel choir? Anybody? I mean, they had a story to tell. It was indelibly printed on their minds. And so as they shared their exciting story, the response was, you know, mixed probably, but they were sharing. And as the shepherds, they traveled and here's this angel that showed up, and he had this message, and it was telling us the Messiah would come, and then the angel choir showed up, and they were singing this song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all men." I can still hear it today. Glory to God in the highest. They probably had the song pretty well memorized. I don't know how long it went, how many times that chorus was repeated, 7-11 times, you know. And then we went and saw what the angels told us to go see. We went to the stable, and there it was, just as the angel said, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It was true. Can you imagine them sharing this? Their willingness to share the good news of Jesus' birth made the shepherds the first witnesses for Jesus. Isn't that cool? They were the first witnesses. And so they had gathered the evidence. They'd heard what the angel said. They compared stories, probably with Joseph there. "Oh, what happened to you? How did you know? How did this all happen? How did it all come about?" "Yeah, we're from Nazareth, and this angel came and visited Mary, and then an angel came and visited me." And so they're comparing stories. Well, what did they say about this baby? They said this. The angel Gabriel said this. And so there they were. They're sharing their story, and they were better, and then they're telling it more and more, and they're getting their facts organized until they have it down pat. In fact, they could show up, and in 5 minutes flat, could tell you everything that happened. The gospel, the story of Jesus, was hitting their lives and impacting them, and they were sharing it to anybody who would listen or be interested. They had the angel's words memorized. It is so impressed on their mind. It was an important story. Everyone was interested in the message. It had been 400 years without a single prophet, without a single prophecy being stated, and this was news indeed, even if the account came from wandering shepherds who were in and out of their towns and cities around. They showed up and they would say, "Hey, did you hear the story about the angels? Did you hear the story about the baby in the stable?" And the next few years, the shepherds wandered as they wandered over the countryside, into a town here, a village there. The vision and the sound of the angels singing was still in their minds, but most people now no longer interested. It takes a while, see, for a little baby to grow up, 30 years. Some of the shepherds died off Others were born. It was same old, more sheep, more lambs, take them and sell them, let them get sacrificed in the temple, and on it goes. And you know, by the time they heard rumors once in a while, though, about the travels of Mary and Joseph and down to Egypt and the killing of the babies in the Bethlehem. And then for a period of time, the story stopped. Did they stop then telling the story to the strangers? Maybe they were the shepherd group, the weirdos. Oh, yeah, there's one group of shepherds. They say they've seen angels. Yeah, uh-huh. And so they got this reputation probably over time. And probably got to the point where they didn't even discuss the angel story to people anymore. Maybe one of the old-timers would say, I remember the night, to some of the newcomers around the fire. And that, oh, yeah, right, you're just a crazy old man. You know, you kind of wonder that as they wandered, the story just kind of dissipated amongst them. There's a little lesson here, though. The best time to share about Jesus is right after you encounter him. Right? The best time to share is right after you encounter him. Because and think about this too. If you and I have regular encounters with Jesus Christ, guess what? We will always have something to share. Have you had a regular encounter with Jesus recently? Has he answered a prayer? Has he done something for you in your life? Do you have something to share? Paul said, make sure we have something to share, the hope that lieth within you. Have a testimony, have a witness. We need regular encounters with Jesus, don't we? So we can be witnesses to what God is doing today. I like the testimonies of what God saved me 50 years ago, but what is God doing also today? Is he alive and well in your heart? Is he still meeting your needs and answering your prayers? And so on. You have a regular spiritual events still in your life, don't you? Encounters with Jesus? I hope you do. So share it. The best time to share it is right after it happens. And a good response to Jesus impacting your life is to witness about him to those about you. But there's one more response. I call this one idle rejection. 18 is such an interesting verse. Between the shepherd sharing in 17 and Mary pondering in 19, there's this verse in between. And all who heard it, the shepherds making it widely known, telling the story, and all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. As the shepherds shared their exciting story, the response of those who heard the good news was mixed astonishment and wonder. That's other translations for that word, marvel. And sometimes I think that if some honest, hardworking men were sharing a fantastic firsthand account of angel messengers saying the Savior who is Christ the Lord is being born. I mean, that was the message. Savior Christ, that's Messiah, is now being born in Bethlehem. I think, and he even uses the word the Lord in there. I would want to investigate that story, wouldn't you? I mean, if somebody were coming to tell me, and we've been waiting for a long time, and there's been 400 years when there was no movement of God in the community of Israel, and then all of a sudden somebody says, we saw angels, and they said, the Savior, Christ, the Lord. The one who's going to save you? The one who is the Son of God, the one who is the promised Messiah, and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was born right here in Bethlehem. And they all go, oh, that's a great story. I I think if I heard that, I put myself in their spot, I would want to investigate. Wouldn't you? I think I would want to go. I think I would find the house they're living in. I think I'd go to the stable just to experience it and see it. And this is where it happened? I think I'd say, I'll hire one of you shepherds to go show me where it happened. Take a day off, go show me. I think I would. But the sad truth is that no one, it seems, cared enough to seek out the baby Jesus. They loved the story. They marveled at it. But we have no account of any of them responding in any other way other than, that's a great story. I know initially there's lots of villagers and they also had visitors that came to town because of the census. The place was packed out and the taxes were being collected. But Joseph and Mary got a house and lived in the community for 2 years until the wise men came. Didn't anyone come to check out the shepherd's story? Did anyone come to worship the baby? Did anyone come just to see his little fingers? To hear him coo or cry? There's no indication that anyone really did. This moment was the glimmer of the dawn of a new day of salvation and redemption. There was a message of hope that they hadn't heard for 400 years. Did they care? Did they go? And so the third reaction to Jesus was a negative one, a response of idle rejection. The long-expected Jesus was ignored. Too busy. Too whatever. The Messiah living in the community was neglected. And instead of experiencing the promised Savior, Lord, their Christ for themselves, through idleness or busyness, they rejected him. No doubt some of them wondered as they wandered through life. Could it be true? Was this the promised Messiah? But when they failed to act on the good news, their idleness became rejection of their Lord and Savior. Sad to say, I'm afraid the message of Jesus mostly gets the same reaction today. David in his class, I've heard him mention it a few times now, says, we're living in a day of Baal worship. We have the message of Jesus today, and for the most part, Bibles have been disseminated all over the world, and the gospel is preached on radios and TV stations until even Christians skip through them because, you know, you just do. I mean, it's just available 24/7. And so this is there. I mean, the message is there, but there's so much indifference to the message of the story of the one who came and died on the cross to give us eternal life, to take away our sins, and dispense grace into our lives, mercy, peace, joy, love. So there's a lot of indifference today. But should that stop us from proclaiming the good news anyway? Some of the children and youth will hear and believe if we keep telling the story, keep dispensing the truth. We want to get it. Some of them are naive enough and hungry enough to get the truth. And on occasion, there will be an adult that will be in a circumstance that will be crisis-oriented, and they'll look for an answer, and maybe they'll hear it from you about Jesus. Right? I know the majority of the people are ignoring the message, but you have the message, and some of them will listen because some of them are in a crisis, some of them are having a problem, and the children don't know any better, and so we can give it to them, right? And we need to. We have a responsibility. When God sends us someone into our lives, we need to tell them the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I can't get away from that either. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. So when an opportunity knocks, be ready to share the story of Jesus to those who need it. I like the song, I Wonder as I Wander. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, if Jesus the Savior would come for to die. For poor ordinary people like you, like I wonder as I wander out under the sky. Tune is melancholy, it's haunting. Use minor chords in the song. There's an interesting story behind it, how the songwriter was in the Appalachian Mountains of South Carolina, I believe it was, and heard this girl singing this song. She was an evangelist's daughter. He paid her quarters to sing it again and again until he finally learned it enough and wrote it down, the words, the tune. But the sad thing about this song is that the writer is wondering about Jesus, who died for ordinary or ornery. It's a hyphenated word, and I don't know which one it's actually for. People like you and I. There's no real indication anywhere in the song that he accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. He's just wondering as he wanders. About the story. It's okay to wonder about Jesus dying on the cross for ordinary people. But if it doesn't impact you enough to change your life, then the wandering will continue in your life. I wander, I wander, I wander, I wander. And I'm wondering, but I'm wandering, and I'm wandering. Will you ever come to the place where you realize it's not wandering and it's not wondering, it's reality? My wondering and my wandering stopped at age 16 when I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord at a youth camp in Cherrytown, Pennsylvania, outside there in the mountain. And I remember that. Do you have a spot where you remember where your wandering and your wondering stopped? And you knew Jesus the Savior came to die for me. And I accepted that, and he forgave my sins, and it changed my life, and I turned around 180 degrees and started to follow him. If you are wandering through life, wondering about the story of Jesus, let me assure you this morning that Jesus is the real deal. He is the answer. He will change your life. He will answer your prayers. He will make a difference. He's the answer to what is spiritually lacking. Will he solve the global crisis? No. He will someday, but is he going to do this, that, and the other things and all the stuff that, you know, why didn't God do something about that? Why didn't God? He's not here to do all that, but he will meet your needs spiritually and sometimes help you with some of your wants. Thank the Lord that some of my wants he didn't help me with. So it's not a genie you rub the bottle, get your three wishes type of a relationship, but I tell you what, he'll change you from the inside out. He'll clean you up. He'll make you a new person. He'll old things are passed away, all things become new. The Bible says, you will be born again. And you can stop wondering about Jesus and experience him for yourself. You can stop wandering through life and get a purpose and a plan, which is called God's will. The praise team's coming. We have family altar time here. It's December 31st. Tomorrow is January 1st, a new year. Are you tired of wandering? Just kind of tired of wandering through life, maybe this would be a good day for you to experience the wonder of Jesus and realize that it is true. It is real. There's a whole group of people here that have experienced Jesus Christ. He does care about your needs. He does like to answer your prayers. He does want to make a difference in your life. I promise you it's happened multitudes of times, but we have to stop our wandering and come to the answer, which is Jesus. You're not going to find it in any other place. It doesn't come in a bottle. It doesn't come in a thrill. It doesn't come anywhere else. It comes in a daily relationship with the Son of God. As we stand together and as they sing, you want to come and pray? You can come and pray about anything, but especially if you want to pray about Jesus. But bring your needs, bring your concerns, bring your burdens. There's some people that are having health issues. Come and pray about that. It's an open altar. You can pray about anything you want. But if you're wandering today, why not come to the cross and find the answer?
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you today that we can talk to you about anything. You're such a personal friend. We may not know exactly all the details, what you look like and all those kind of things. But what we do know is that we can count on you. In the storms of life, there is a Savior. And when trials come, Lord, you make us stronger. You help us to get through them. When temptations come, you show us a way of escape so we don't have to yield to the temptation. When Satan comes against us, you help us, Lord, because you are stronger. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And so, Lord, with these kind of resources, we know that following you is the right answer. You are the way. You are the source of truth. And you make life really happen. There is no life outside of Jesus. It's just existence. But with Jesus, there is real life. You've shown us what love is. You've shown us what peace is, what joy is. You've given us, Lord, eternity. And Lord, we're just grateful for that. We want to respond like Mary and just all these things that you have done for us, just kind of put them in our heart and guard them and ponder them and weigh them and think about them. And we want to respond like the shepherds, Lord, and go out and tell others what Jesus is doing as we encounter you through our week, Lord. May we have something to share. And Lord, we just don't want to be like the other people and reject you. No, we want to accept you. We do accept you. Lord Jesus, come in, fill us. Cleanse us. Equip us. So we can seek you and celebrate you and serve you today. Lord, we pray for those in the hospital and those that are struggling with the flu and different things that are going around, facing surgery, recovering from surgery, and a lot of stuff. There's some with the holiday blahs. Some are down and discouraged. But Lord, we look up to you. My faith looks up to you, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Hear us as we pray. Take all our guilt and sin away. Don't let us ever stray. Lord, we're grateful. You are the source. So as we pause for a few moments now and worship you, I just pray that you will feel our love and our worship, our response. You are worthy of it. And Lord, we're making a dedicated effort to give God first place in our life as we start 2018. May this be a year, Lord, when good things happen, because people are minding God. The greatest thing that could happen would be you come again and we go and be with you forever. But there's still some family members that need Jesus. Would you help them to get in this year so that they can go to be with us forever in heaven? Thank you, Lord. Now we worship you, we praise you, we love you. Answer our prayers and meet our needs. Change our world. In Jesus' name.